Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your
greetings and welcome to a Saturday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 10th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. What a Saturday. There was one mover, one big mover on that Saturday. Actually, two. One moved down, one moved up.
I'm not going to ask you what brought you more joy, but there were two big moves for moving day. Hideki, certainly. The toast of the town, he is 11 under. The other mover, would you suggest? I want to make sure I know where you're going with that. It would be one Justin Thomas.
One Justin Thomas.
Louisville slugger.
He did most of his moving on the 13th hole.
Shot a 75. Sort of, I mean, he looked kind of like a junior golfer. Once he hit the one bad shot, it was just compounding. He was over. Like he, you know, chipped it, then hit a bad let. I mean, they were all very hard shots. It's just like kind of really compounded. He was checked out after the shot into the tributary to Rays Creek. Although they showed the ball.
It might have started on the shorty he missed on 10. He just got a little batitude going, you know?
The three putt at 11, right? From the Tiger Alley, he got out of there. He found a nice soft landing, and then he three putted, bogeyed 11, birdied 12. But the ball was, they showed it, right? Trickling down tributary to Rays Creek.
Yeah.
I was like, that ball is going to make its way out to sea and find Geronimo somewhere out there. It's going to wash up on shore somewhere. Geronimo, they will reconnect via that ball, the way it was floating downstream like that.
I saw noted golf historian Anthony Piappi asking a very valuable question. If that ball, if the camera stays on it and the ball travels off property, is it technically out of bounds?
Oh,
because you know how it's just
yeah.
Plot the ball was just it showed it just kind of chugging along downstream. I don't think it did, but it's a great question, a great rules question. I think we might have to go to Chris Rozell of the Gap.
Yeah,
you know, see what his official ruling is. But yeah,
I think it's where it's crossed. No, I mean it's got to be something like it's. Eh, maybe not. I mean. Interesting. Well, what was the rule in Texas, right? Where Scheffler played before Kuchar because he was technically closer.
In the water.
In the water.
What are we doing? Why are we talking
about
this?
It's fantastic. Hey, when Hideki gets going, it's about It's about as exciting a thing as golf, right? Because you can just feel it.
No flag safe.
To root on Rory and Spieth, there's like the magic and all that, and of course Tiger is his own category for something like this. Justin Thomas, you know, fun to watch, but when Hideki is really cooking, he's standing over every shot is just sort of a treat. Those moments before the strike really have you kind of juiced up, and he got cooking.
No flag is safe at all. I mean, it is scintillating. Those approach shots were just outstanding. What's lost in the greatness of the round is the three-putt par on 13 for about 20 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the back nine could have been one or two better.
He shot a 30 with the par on the 13th.
Three-putt par. A three-putt par for about 20 feet. Like, granted, everybody was leaving. There was something going on with that putt because everybody. Yeah. I mean, Sal Torres three-putted it. Corey Connors three-putted it. JT three-putted it. Now, I would like to also point out, none of those four are really renowned putters.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it's a 30 with a par on the easiest hole, a three-putt par. Before I go into the sort of laudatory and the, you know, kind of the, just the joy of watching him cook. there was a question in our, we did a awesome kind of live, unprompted, impromptu.
You're calling your own live thing awesome again.
I meant for the community, the call-ins. That's what I was getting at, because I'm going to talk about this question. We did this impromptu Bixby House, Bixby sponsoring Masters Week yet again, and it was virtual during the rain delay. And it was awesome because we got this question among other questions. Annie, give me shit. The question was, who will most benefit from the rain delay, from it going to soft luppy conditions? I'm not suggesting it was full lup, but is Hideki that guy? Is he kind of the one who feasts on that? And I'm not suggesting it makes it any less of a round or any less of a player, but did that have anything to do with it? Or did he just come out ready to play wherever, whatever the conditions might be?
In a way, possibly yes. Augusta is so, it's so pinpoint that you're almost defensive, right?
Yeah.
Like, is you have to swing freely on some of the shots. You have no choice. But this allowed certain shots to just be a little bit better. And that's one of the things. That's why, whether it's soft, whether it's firm, Augusta always delivers, right? Is because yeah. you the targets are so small. You can't fake it. And Hideki, he pulled off all the shots.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, it, of course, his drives were steady all
the pitches.
Way home. The pitch on 18. I mean,
14 pitch was great, too.
Yes, good point. I mean, he looked like Ollie, prime Ollie, with the wedge around the green on some of those.
I mean, he's always been a tremendous chipper of the ball. I think people should lump short game and putting so often together.
Sure.
But Hideki Matsuyama is one of the best pitchers of the golf ball in the world. Like, it just exemplifies how shaky the putter is.
So he flags it, you know, from the fairway at 15. Obviously, 12, like, 11, all right, 11 was the biggest bonus, right? He's in the Tiger Alley, and somehow, which again, just sort of illuminates the stupidity of that grove of trees, right? It's a better...
Oh, so dumb.
The bigger the miss, the better you have. I mean, this happened over and over again on Saturday afternoon. We got Hideki.
Kitty Litter Alley.
Leishman. Rose. I think Rose was so far down there that and it's the best angle, especially when the pin is back a little bit. It was all the way back left there. Then being in the middle of the fairway. And Hideki just shoots this runner out under like one limb, and it runs all the way up. It's like the water is kind of just not, you don't have to hit a rope or a draw. And he birdies it. He makes the putt. He birdies 12, makes a putt there. That's
flagged
it. You know, some consequence. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it was outside the comfort zone for Hideki, for
yeah.
sure.
He's cooking, and he has the three putt on 13, bad drive on 14, you know, which is it's so amazing how three putts and letdowns, how often right after is a bad drive. It's like just unbelievable how they just go like hand in hand. And bad drive, in trouble. My buddy was texting me. He was asking me about betting. He's like, should I bet on Hideki playing 16 or 15-16, 2 under, right after 13? And he had to drive on 14. I go, if he makes par on 14 from this bad spot, hammer it. But if he does it, don't. So he hits that beautiful chip. He hammers the bet. It goes eagle, birdie.
Eagle, yeah. How many birdies did you see on 16 today? I'm trying to look
not
at
a
stats
lot.
Here, and I didn't want to disrupt it. I mean, that is...
That was a pin.
The toughest pin on that, maybe back right, like farther up. But it was very... I didn't see anyone on that side of the pin and putting from the right side down to that.
That's the brilliance. This is the brilliance of Augusta National. Is like, you want birdie on 16... You better take it on. You have to pull the shot off. You have to hit it at the flag. And if you don't, it's going to be a really hard three. Like, it's not an easy two putt. Granted, like, we saw some guys run in that putt from 50 feet, but that happens over the course of a day. But it makes it a really hard two putt. It makes it a really hard par if you don't take on the shot. And it's a short iron. It's, you know, you, but it's so hard to get yourself to aim for that little spot. No, if you miss it right, it's going to be almost impossible to make four or make three. And Hideki, I mean, he just was so locked in. It was just incredible.
I see 12 birdies, which is way more than I expected. 12 birdies, round three, versus 33 pars and nine bogeys. So, what was your favorite shot of that? I mean, then, of course, he goes flag hunting at 17, too, that throws it to that back left pin. And the chip
the shot on 17 might have been my favorite because it was just the emphatic exclamation mark on, like, right. God, this guy is locked in, you know? Right. Right. But then, I mean, the chip on 18 was just out of this world great.
We're doing play-by-play for a reason. It was that like, hour and a half was just remarkable. But I think in that 15-16 stretch was about, it was just this flurry of action, right? I mean, Rosie Shoffley makes the eagle, currently like momentarily joins the lead at 7. Then, of course, Hideki's right on top of him and makes the eagle at 9. But in between that, Rose takes solo lead at 8. Mm-hmm. It was just a real flurry there that was fantastic. Spieth was still kind of circling at that point too. So it was a real exciting hour there when Hideki was in the middle of his charge.
One thing that happened to me today, which I didn't expect to have happen, was today was the day where the main telecast almost became the background for me.
To what?
I had the triple screen up on masters.com on my laptop with the sound on the featured groups that I would switch over depending on, I'd switch the sound over, but you get the shots faster. And when everybody's on the back nine, you get all the shots that way and you can see them all. You can pick what your sound is and then you have and you're getting the shots before the telecast is getting there. You know, now it's like, it's just crazy that to me, it was just like, I got to the point where I was like, this is just better than the telecast.
Interesting. I still need somebody to guide me through it. I just don't know if I have the skills.
You have the
three screens to lock in on the right one all the time.
You have the bacon
screen.
And you have bacon on the featured groups. Like it's just kind of with, I think they'll mess around with the featured groups tomorrow. It won't be the way last. The featured groups worked was it was the groups you wanted to watch.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true. That's a good point. Okay. So how do you feel about, can Hideki win? Let's just put it that way.
He's four clear. Like who thought in that rain delay, it was like a mess. It was just a jumbled mess. And now this guy is four shots clear. That's a large, large lead.
I think Justin Ray tweeted, it's the first Japanese player to ever hold a lead or co-lead after a round in the Masters. He would not be the first Japanese major winner. Hinako Shibuno was the last to do it at the British Women's British Open. What was that, 2 years ago? There was 1977 LPGA championship. Hisako Higuchi won it, but he would be the first male golfer, certainly, to win a major championship. I've tried to do some reverse, like, just looking for problems, but like four almost feels like uncomfortably big. Like I feel a little better if it was like,
are you
two.
You think it's like the worst lead in hockey is two goal lead?
Like, I'm talking nonsense, I know that, but it just makes me feel like if it were to not happen would make me feel, you know, it makes me more anxious, I guess is what I would say, because he's supposed to win it now technically because he's up four. Browns fan, the Cleveland fan in me speaking, probably. Okay, go
obviously
ahead.
with Augusta, there's disasters all over the place. 12, but one of the things that mitigates disasters is when you're absolutely surgical. And that's the thing with Hideki. He played the only bogey-free round of the tournament so far. And, like, the thing that frustrates you is kind of like Westy, where you get frustrated, where he like, doesn't make birdies. But he's probably going to make a ton of pars tomorrow. And it's like, if he shoots two under, like, there's only four. One of the four guys has to shoot 66 if he shoots 70. Like, that's the thing about it, right?
Right. I mean, he's just, I don't want to put out the bad hypotheticals of what he could do to come back. I think that's just cruel and tempting fate. You're right. I agree with you. It's scary. I don't know. Faldo talking about Norman and all that. It got me worked up a little bit, a little anxious. That's all. Sorry, you froze up. My internet's terrible, if you can believe it or not. All right. So he's 11 under, 65. It was an actual moving day. I read an article by Mark Brody about how moving day is a thing. Now, it might not necessarily be a thing at the Masters, but there are easier setups. There's less strokes gained by the leaders relative to the other three rounds because more guys come at them and move. So moving day is a thing. I was dubious.
Here's actually something about moving day too. What I never had thought about it until you started talking about it, all the factors. But usually, today was not this case. Usually the afternoon presents a little bit more difficult scoring conditions. You know, the greens are a little bit bumpier. The wind is usually up a little bit more. Yep. And so that would make sense how it could be moving day. It's like if you tee off at 10 versus 2, you got a shot advantage.
Did you perceive a significant change in the course after the rain delay?
Yes.
And then there was obviously
tremendous
a drizzle during a little bit of the resumption too.
The bite was all out of it. I mean, it became like a... You could fire at flags, and one of the most telling ones was Rosie's shot on 10 that hung up.
Mm-hmm.
When we had watched all day the balls just tumble down that hill, so that it definitely, and then all the guys leaving putts short. There, it seemed like that lost about a foot of speed out there.
Right, right. No one really took advantage, though, quite like Hideki. I mean, Xander made a little bit of a run late.
Azinger would have an answer for you.
Pressure? Masters pressure.
Nerves.
Out on this course. They've seen so much happen here their whole lives.
He's so nervous he can't spit right now.
We didn't get that from Fowl, though. All right, let's do then... So contender, obviously Hideki is not a pretender. He has a 4-shot lead with 18 holes to play. Do you want to do a little contender pretender? We could talk about, you know, what just happened and what might happen for each guy tomorrow. Let's start with Justin Rose.
Rosie?
He's one of the group. Anma, the former Anma player. He's one of the group of four at 7 under, 4 shots back. He will not be in the last group. Who was in first? Was that Leishman? Was in first? Right? I think that's... No, it would have been Shoffley.
No, Shoffley. Xander.
So they'll play again.
So repeat. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll play again.
The match, part two. That was the best that was the best pairing out there.
That was. It was interesting. Okay, so let's start with Rose. He's 7 under. He just shot 72.
He'll be playing with Mark Leishman.
Felt disappointing, I would say, given where he was. He started with birdie. Didn't seem to have it. I thought it was about to fully come unraveled there in Amen Corner after a horrible drive at 11, kind of a horrible approach shot out of there, and then he saved par and birdied 12, and I was like, geez, he's just not going away. And then it just got quite a bit sloppy coming in. So
It's gotten worse every day.
Well, he shot 72.
I know, but it's looked worse every day. Like yesterday, the way he finished, you were like, okay, he's playing good. Today, that round couldn't have finished any sooner. It's amazing. Frankly, it was an incredible round to shoot 72 with the way he hit the ball. It was disgusting. And that's not a good sign. It's like you're not going to roll in like 15-foot par putts on 2 days in a row. So Rosie needs to get out to the range.
Contender or pretender? I mean, to contend, he's going to need another 9 birdies and... You know, 15-hole type thing, you know, that he had on Thursday.
Foley needs to go full Belichick for him to contend tomorrow. He needs to get him back into that groove from Thursday.
I've heard Foley's been having a good time in Augusta this week.
I bet. He thinks he considers himself an A-list celebrity, I think.
Never mind. We don't need to talk about Sean Foley.
He's a fashion mogul. And savant when it comes to the golf swing.
If you weren't on the live show, by the way, for On-Site Intel, we just have to say we got a tip that Tom Lehman was out there stacking Masters cups at the behest of his wife and got confronted by a security guard as, like, he's a 20-year-old kid, 22-year-old kid stacking the beer cups on his first trip to the Masters and going home to stock the fraternity house with a bunch of plastic cups. Apparently he had a stack that went to the sky, like 20 cups. Tom Lehman, major winner.
Do you think he was picking up other people's cups?
Yes, he had to have been from the size of it.
Think about that. During a pandemic, walking around and picking up other people's used cups. Like, what are you doing? Like that's so gross. It's like, just, why are you?
He's won a major. He's got a Claret jug. He's picking up plastic
just
cups.
Just go email somebody that you know in Augusta and ask him to send you a sleeve of them. What are you doing?
All right. Xander Schauffele, contender or pretender? Well, let's just put it this way. Is everyone at 7 under a contender?
Who's picking up used cups during the coronavirus? Like, what? What are you doing? I just put two and two together.
Needless to say, whatever, 60-year-old millionaire major championship winner. It's pretty good. I love it. I love that the cop accosted him, or the Pinkerton, got at him. He's like, my wife wants me to get all these. And the guy, I guess the Pinkerton, showed him a stash of another like 15 and hooked him up. All right. Is everyone at 7 under a contender? Are there any pretenders? Schauffele, Leishman, Rose, or
Zalatoris? I think Rose is a pretender.
I think you might be right.
I think he's done. I don't like the trend. I don't, you know, you like to see guys that are like you're like, oh man, he just left a couple out there. He didn't leave any out there. He got everything out of that round that he could have gotten out of the round. That was one of the worst 72s I've ever seen.
It started birdie.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I'm aware. It was disgusting. It was, especially like playing alongside Zalatoris, who was like just striping it, and it seemed to not get a lot out of his round. Like Rose was just offensive out there.
Hey, did you hear them say Zalatoris is a size 28 waist?
It has to be 26.
What? When was the last time you were in size 28 pants? You're a little bit of more of a thin boy than I am. I'm trying to think when the last time I was in anything under 30. It had to be like
I could fit into 30 like as of like 7 years ago.
What? As an adult?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed.
That was my all time, you know, that was a lot of pickup hoops. But
I can't imagine that. I can't imagine. I think I was in like fifth grade or something. It couldn't have been. Jeez, unbelievable. So Zalatoris, Leishman, and Schauffele are all in the contender, safely in the contender. Rose is done. I think I agree with you. I concur on all of them. Of those three, who do you like?
I don't know if Leish. I don't.
Why?
The only way I put Leish in the contender is if Hideki stumbles. I don't see. Say if Hideki shoots par, I don't think Leishman's going to shoot 68. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just real talk here.
Okay. Hey, can I make a point about Hideki? And I guess maybe this could be saved for when he wins. I feel like we still don't know him that much. And that's sort of reflective of, you know, we hear all this bullshit about how so-and-so's a new father. So-and-so, you know, talks to, but like, doing these flashlights or spotlights, we got to know about Jumbo Ozaki just because they're from, you know, a different part of the world. That's kind of reflective of like sort of the hollowing out of the media, right? It just feels like,
oh yeah, there's no SI features.
You remember when we learned that Hideki like had a wife and kid and everyone was like floored by it? Like, oh, I had no idea. It's just, it feels like there's so much more to get at with Hideki that besides the incredible golf that would make him such an interesting character.
But. And I have to say, the lead Hideki reporter, Sean Martin, has, you know, this slump, the Spieth-like wind slump has caused him to look into other, you know, he's left Hideki. He's gone through greener pastures. He's flocked to Zalatoris and Colin Morikawa and the, you know, just become, you know, he left his man. No, that's why we don't know a lot about him.
there's so much more to learn and know about Hideki, and I don't know, maybe they'll take a green jacket to get at more of that, but I don't know. It'd be great to know him. He seems like
we need a Jaime Diaz. We need to send Jaime Diaz.
John Garrity was the jumbo, right? He was the jumbo whisperer, if I'm not mistaken. We
need to send him out there, you know, pay for his flight out there, just like with who was it? Woozy that he didn't have a set schedule. He just went to the town and was waiting, or was that Ollie?
Ollie. Wouldn't talk to anyone when he couldn't, you know, play because of his foot. And Jaime just did it on a lark, ran up the SI expense account and got to his gate and said, I'm sorry, you came all the way to Spain. I can't talk to you.
I wonder if Jaime Diaz could do some contract work for the shotgun start and have it feel funded by Bixby money.
That's true. We need a few more subscribers if you want that profile. But all right, so Leish, you're dubious about. I would firmly put Leishman, Shoffley.
I'm gonna say pretender for Leishman.
Ooh, okay. Corey Connors is 6 under. He's next.
This is not a pretender. Like, he could finish third or second. Yeah. Like, I just don't. Unless the only way Leish is a contender is if Matsuyama shits the bed tomorrow, shoots over par.
Yep. Okay. So Corey Connors is 6 under.
I think
that feels thin. That feels.
I think he is a contender.
Okay.
He hits it so good.
Okay. Can't putt, right?
He can't putt, but he might. Like, there's a reason. Only certain guys could shoot 30 on a back nine, right? I don't think Leishman hits the ball well enough to shoot 30 on a back nine or do something crazy. Like, Corey Connors, he might not putt well enough, but he might hit it to 3 feet 7 times. Like, that's a legitimate thing that could happen with Corey Connors.
Okay.
So right. I'm going to put him in the contender boat. And this is, and Spieth might be, I mean.
Spieth is 5 under. We're now 6 shots from the lead with a lot of guys, 2 shots ahead of him.
Because I saw it once, I'll say he could contend because of what he did. What was it? 18?
Well, oh, yeah. Where he was on the verge of maybe a 62 or 61.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
Spieth got nothing. Well. Nothing well. Out of it.
I mean, what did he again lead the field in greens and regulations? Something. He was way up there yet again.
He didn't make any putts.
Right.
I saw Justin Ray tweeted out that this is statistically Jordan Spieth's worst putting round in his career at Augusta National.
I'm trying to figure out. Today was his worst today putting round ever?
Yeah, he lost plus shots to the field on the greens.
Had the double yet again. Yeah, Spieth tied Zalatoris with 14 greens of regulation for and Webb, a couple others. But again, you get something like that. He had that in round one. He had 16 and 18 greens. He had this, 14. You get that, and you get a little putter, and try to avoid the double like he had at 7, and you could be on your way to a 64 or something like that.
You ready for the most recent Justin Ray stat that he tweeted?
Yes.
Hideki Matsuyama gained 5.45 strokes on approach shots in the third round. Holy More God. Than twice as many as anyone else.
As the next. Wow. Man. Now can you bring it back for Sunday? Not that dominant, but just.
That's why Corey Connors is a contender.
Okay. All right, but we're putting Spieth firmly in the contender category. Is that a little bit with the heart and the head or he's hitting it well. He's hitting it incredibly well.
He's hitting
well.
If he makes putts, he's hitting it well, and like we've seen him light it up. Here.
Right. Yep.
That's the thing. Like, I just, while I, with Leishman, while I like really would love to see Mark Leishman win, if as long as Hideki, and this is under the pretense, say Hideki shoots under par or even par or better, I just don't see Leishman chasing him down.
Okay. Are we going any lower for contenders? If Harman is 4.
No.
Finau's 3, and that's it. I'm not going after that. Harman's 4, Finau's 3.
Harman's
8 shots.
Just under the limit to get on the ride.
Wait, what?
Harman scores just under the limit to get on the ride.
Dawned on me now. As a dad who's taking his kids to Disney World and had to deal with this drama, the older son can go, the younger son can't.
I'm sorry.
Complete hell show. Yeah, I gotcha. I got it. Good analogy on the fly. I like that one. Fantastic. And it might, in fact, apply. All right, so that's contender, pretender. Anything else from Saturday's round?
I just think it's beautiful to look at this leaderboard. And this is one of the things, obviously it's a smaller field, but this is where what frustrates me a lot of times with PGA Tour setups and courses is, you know, they just don't have that. What Augusta has is the sharp, severe contours, the pin positions on slopes where if you don't hit it there, you're not going to make birdie, right?
Yep.
You see Hideki Matsuyama at 11 under in first place. And at the bottom of the leaderboard, the top 10, 2 under. 9 shot separation and 10 players. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's the separation you want. I'm going to do a quick thing. One thing I loved, one thing I didn't love. One thing I didn't love was apparently there was a CBS pregame show that listed Ricky Fowler as having 9 PGA Tour wins, which would throw it was officially listed as PGA Tour wins, which would be adding
Disrespectful to Carl Pedersen.
An Asian Tour win, the Hero World Challenge, and 2 Euro Tours, which, you know, is fine. We're not denigrating those wins, but we always are listing things as PGA Tour. You know, Tommy Fleetwood's never won on the PGA Tour, and they actually listed them as 9 PGA Tour wins. Just a disgrace. What I did love was watching Jose Maria Olazabal. Now, he leaked lots of oil coming in. He made a 7 on 15 because he had the layup, and then he hit his layup, spun back in the water, and that was it. Because the guy was battling his ass off. It was incredible to watch. He doubled 15 and bogeyed 16 and 17. Just ran out of gas like Woozy on Friday. But the guy hasn't played golf since November. Last Masters.
Played 72-hole stroke play tournament. People give golf, they say it's like it's exhausting, especially at Augusta where it's hilly. Is the thing that kills you is there's some physical toll that it puts on your body, especially when you're a 63 or 57 year old man like Jose Maria Olazabal. But then the mental toll when you haven't played 4 competitive rounds in a row in a while is just got to be anguish.
Yeah, I just watched like 11. He had like 230 in, hardest hole of the course. Just like slaps of fairway wood is whatever he can down there. Gets up and down for part of that back pin. I watched him 14. His drive was 238 yards up the hill. 14, hard ass green from any distance. He's 225 out. And he, after a 240 yard drive, he like rockets one. The ball never gets like 15 feet off the ground. Like Woozy, this wood up the hill, 14, runs through the green. Does the miracle up and down. Miracle pars. And then it came apart on 15. He's having like 220 into all these greens. And it just, you could feel it. It meant so much to him. He was in tears yesterday talking about Seve. This is, you know, thinking about Seve, thinking about all the Spanish friends. He actually lost the pandemic. Sergio Gomez, the sort of confidant and agent we read about so much in that Flash spotlight. He lost in this last year. So I don't know. I loved tracking him as he had, you know, 200 plus into all these poor fours and somehow was under par through 14 holes. All right, let's do anything jump out to you fashion wise. Monochromatic was a big deal with Phil. Adam Scott had different shades of tan or khaki. Hovland is just a complete disaster. We need to get him out of that, whatever it is.
Jay Lindenberg. Thing.
It's just a complete mess. And nobody else jumped.
I don't really have any fashion takes. Okay. You know, I want to talk about JT.
Okay. We kind of already popped them pretty early. First, before we even talked about Hideki.
I think where it really went off the, I think he got really on tilt when his little snap hook on 13 didn't hook.
Oh yeah, went way up in the trees. Yeah, right. Yeah, he's been showing that thing off all week. 13 and 10.
Yeah. Time. First time I didn't see it hook.
No. So you think that's where it all began? before the little wedge he flopped or he hit short into the tributary.
It's just kind of crazy to see someone react that way when you're like really in the mix, you know?
What do you mean? Like the junior golfer analogy I made where he was kind of like, he kind of gave up. He kind of just checked out on that hole at least.
Well, that's what, you know, this is what happens to junior golfers is one bad shot like unravels them for six holes. And then it's like, then they come back and they play well, but it's like, well, you just let one shot affect six holes worth of shots.
For the sake of completeness, Justin Thomas has won like 14 times in a major championship, and he's not, you know.
But it just seems like he got really irritated.
He was the chip off the tight lie. He just rocketed up the second tier, but like he was kind of throwing his hands up before he even hit it. It was weird, sort of. It was not good body language at all. So, all right. Anything else before we do the Billy Horschel log?
I mean, how about Kevin not like sneaky on the line of a top 10?
No way, really?
Yeah, he's tiptoed in complete anonymity this entire tournament. I didn't even know he was in the tournament, to be honest.
Oh, come on. We don't need to talk about Kevin. Not.
All right, let's get it. Big Shot Bob. Right. I'm happy about him being in the top 10.
Yeah,
what a show! Record. What a showing!
Yep. All right. So this was the Sistine Chapel. This was the Mona Lisa from the Baton Boy, the Motor Mouth, the Town Crier. This was it.
Billy Horschel, featured groups feed early this morning, bright Billy and center.
Featured groups. While there's no competing TV product, you know, at these other majors, you get featured groups, but TV's on at 9 a.m.
I want to point something out.
In. Yeah.
I don't want to be talking about Billy Horschel.
Yes, we have made a concerted effort. We got to throttle down on Horschel talk. It was impossible to get away from Billy Horschel, like just circus acts this morning. Everybody, I mean, he was right there, and it was his masterpiece from hole number two. In the variety of which, the variety of sort of acts and expletives and outbursts was kind of impressive that how he mixed it up. Number two. Club whips into the ground on the follow-through with an, oh, Billy. Five, he launches his club in the air like a baton and drops it. Doesn't catch it. Sluman, McDonough, who forgot, I don't know, maybe Sluman is familiar with the Baton Boy meme, said he certainly wasn't in the UF, the Florida band, dropping the baton like that. We get a baton reference on Masters coverage. Seven, he tomahawks. So this is, he's done the club whip. He's done the twirl. Now he does the tomahawk on seven into the turf. I forget where the ball went. I think it was short in the bunker. Or
yeah.
Maybe long.
Was it short in the bunker? It was short in the bunker.
Tomahawks the club like into the bag where his caddy kind of putzing around it. 10, he does this loud, or 11, I'm sorry, 11. He does this loud, oh, Billy, and then hits the microphone with his club, which was scrubbed from the every shot replay. 11, he throws his ball in the water, just picks it up and angrily throws it. This guy is out of control. He's out of control. He shouldn't be allowed to play the final
important
round.
Important note, he shot one over.
12. So he just launched his ball. 12, he hits it to like 15 feet, you know, that left pin. But he acts, quote Will Knights, who we were texting with, he acts like a complete child. He's like throwing his hands up. He's like, oh my God, how is it not closer? Then he misses the putt. He's back at the crease. And he does this like, throws his hands up in the air, slumps his shoulders, throws, incredible gif, screen cap, just looking to the heavens, throwing his hands up because it was like it was a 15 footer. It wasn't a 3 footer. For God's sakes. 13, hits it off the tee. Lands, what a shit fucking bounce. Pardon my language, it's not mine, it's Billy's. He says, what an S-effing bounce. 13, then he hits it in Ray's Creek, or the tributary. He falls on his ass, trying to go down in his, you know, clam diggers. He hikes his pants up. He falls sliding down the hill like a little boy.
In his white pants, right, right in front of Phil, who has the famous gif of him sliding down the hill.
16. He's incredulous that the ball, you know, didn't stay up. It was a front right pin up on the tier. He's incredulous. He's shaking his head on the tee, shouting. But then he bombs at a birdie putt from the lower tier. And for reasons that will probably never be known to mankind, or what the motivation was.
He's facing the crowd. He's walking up the hill to the hole from down on the left side of the green, facing the crowd who's all clapping for him.
There's an aggressive. He mouths at the flag where it went in. He goes, fuck you, you. But it doesn't take a professional lip reader.
Like, the fans probably thought he was yelling fuck you at them.
What is this guy's problem? He just made a birdie putt.
He made a 50-foot birdie putt, and he's yelling fuck you.
Like, at the flag stick. What's going on?
17, the guy needs he needs to be suspended.
17, he's shouting, you cannot hit a better shot than that after it goes over. It goes over the back of the green. You cannot hit a better shot. And this is just, this is like the Cliff Notes. This is some of the variety. There was a million O'Billies. Apparently he called Phil Buddy. Phil is a 51-year-old, you know, legend. He's calling him Buddy. Maybe there was a pal in there or a bro. Why he's doing all this in front of Phil, who's sort of the, you know, he's got his thumb on the scale of all these team events. Next time they ask, well, Billy was 11th at points, should be a captain's pick. He's like, hell no, we don't want that guy anywhere. We don't want Motor Mouth in our team room. Get him out. I can't believe he was acting like this at Augusta and in front of Phil. So you think he needs to be gone?
Should just get gone. DQ him. Conduct unbecoming of a professional.
Look, we want to talk less about Billy Horschel. This was unavoidable. We posted some of it. It was just impossible to keep up. Anything else you want to add to the Billy Horschel show? He shot a one over. Is he shot 73?
He shot 73. Started the day three over. End of the day four over. Like, played pretty much as he should expect. Like, this is pretty much how he plays in major championships, too. I don't know what the fuck he's expecting.
All right. That's it. You got anything else before? Who's your pick to win?
One other thing I wanted to talk about.
All right.
Can we talk about the seventh hole, eighth hole of Spieth?
Yeah, sure. He airmails it on seven, leaves it
the
short.
Nuclear
the
lie on seven. Yeah. Short rough for the win again. Okay. No, I know. The USGA is going to set up Torrey Pines with 7-inch rough, but they should set it up with 2-inch rough. That this just leads to all these nuclear lies. Like, Spieth hit it. He flew it 20 yards over the green.
It's very far. This is getting to your point you wrote about Wingfoot. Unpredictable. Unpredictability in the rough is what makes it.
Yeah. So it just nukes it over the green. He probably was thinking all the rest of the day about any time he was in the rough, like, is this going to jump? Sure. But anyways, it makes double. That was an awful double.
Yeah, left it in the bunker. Eight, he's off the planet, right? We don't
even
know.
He's over in the azaleas on the left. Well, I was watching. Yeah. I was watching Feature Group's coverage. Okay. This all transpired like 5 minutes before the telecast showed. It was insane.
Okay. And the horn was coming on too. So
So he's over in like the azaleas, and then he chips. That was one of the most amazing shots that he hit, and I feel like it didn't get enough due about how incredible that third shot was. It was just peak Spieth. Like, makes this ridiculously awful double. And then makes, you know, birdie from somewhere you thought he was going to make another double.
I never did see a second shot and how he ended up over there.
Oh, it's just
hard hook or something like that.
Yeah. I was getting ready to tweet out something about getting new piece of duct tape ready.
I still don't understand the window of how he got there and threw it
slope
and fed it back down. Yeah. That was a great, great stretch. And then we got the horn, kind of stopped everything.
Anything you're missing, you know, you feel like you're missing out on.
Yep. Me?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Yeah, no.
Sunday.
Who's your pick to win?
I'm missing one thing.
What are you missing?
This Masters. This is like the first year I can remember where we don't even get a say ever. Well, if Rory goes out in 2029. And I'm sad. I'm really sad that it's not part of this conversation.
I feel like we got sort of like the half dose of that on Friday. I was like, well, if he can birdie 16, 17, and 18, he's going to make the cut. After he was totally done, and then I think he birdied 13 and 15. I was like, oh, all right. Well, he's just got to birdie 16, 17, and 18, and we'll be playing the weekend. So we kind of got a half measure of that.
We didn't really talk about Xander. He's right at the mix. If anybody's going to steal it, I feel like he might steal it. He'd be candidate number one for stealing it from Hideki, but my pick's Hideki.
He and Corey Connors had the low round of the day, non-Hideki version or category. I am going to... God, I'm so nervous about it, but I'm going with Hideki. I'm riding the wave. I don't think it'll be easy or pretty, but I think four shots is a nice chunk. Seems to be feeling it, and I will also join you in Hideki. All right. Anything else before we sign off here? Good?
No. Subscribe to Bixby Coffee. Everybody, it helps us out. That's how we could maybe at some point, if he doesn't have a non-compete, send Jaime Diaz to Japan to see if Hideki has any Yakuza backing like Jumbo.
Or maybe even Orlando. I think he's half-time or full-time in Orlando, at least during the season. So that we can afford that one. Maybe get him Southwest into MCO.
Sean Martin could do some contract work, get him back on the beat.
Subscribe to Bixby Coffee. We have much more coming down the pike with them. More of these kind of get-togethers virtually, maybe otherwise, maybe in person, maybe golf, maybe giveaways of coffee apparatus. Might have some cold brew products coming, but right now we have a light roast and a dark roast shipped, roasted out to you the next day. One of the perks of that Friday hangout was Miles gave everybody a tour of the bean factory. The beans that are green, then they're roasted, then they're out and on your doorstep. So subscribe to the Shotgun Start Blend and West Island Blend. All right, we'll be back Sunday night with are we going to do an Instagram live maybe before the TV tomorrow? What are you thinking?
Maybe. I don't
maybe.
Know.
That, all right. Keep an eye out for that, maybe.
Plausibly.
Not,
it's plausible.
Okay. If not, we'll definitely be back.
It's possible, but not plausible. Or probable.
I'm not even sure how that makes sense. All right. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Would you say it's possible, plausible, or probable?
I would say it's possible. That's the most half.
I know probable is higher than possible, but where does plausible fall in that range?
I think in between.
Range?
Or
you think?
I think plausible and probable are probably pretty similar.
Or is it below possible?
No.
It's plausible that Rory goes out in 29, but not probable.
Potentially.
Plausible could be that it's. I don't even know. This is something that has stumped me for years. I think about it all the time.
That can't be true. I hope you're not thinking.
No, I have a friend that will
testify to this.
This has been a 10-year struggle with me.
All right. Everyone enjoy your Saturday nights, your Sunday mornings, and we will be back with you then to wrap up Masters Week.